The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions from the Bible, about the Bible, looking at current events, and what we hear in church on Sunday. Is it even in the Bible at all? Well, if you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN, and we'll do our very best to get to your question today. Joining me today, special guest and featured CSN speaker, comes on an hour and a half after this program is over, Jeff Wickwire from Turning Point Church, Dallas-Fort Worth. Hi and welcome, Jeff.
Hello, Mike. It's great here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Beautiful weather outside, and I believe today is going to be a great show. We're going to get some, we got some great questions yesterday, and one of them, I'll wager, bugged you as it bugged me, even after it was over.
Oh, long after it was over.
Yeah, so I believe I have definitively solved it. So maybe we can go there before we take any other questions.
Yeah, well, let's do that. Let's just get that cleaned up from yesterday. Now, real quickly, the question was about a king having the same names of parents as his son did. Your thoughts?
Well, the question was about 1 Kings 15, verse 1. Yes. We read, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, verse 2. And his mother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. And then the caller took us to verse 9. So keep in mind that name, Maacah. Then we come to verse 9, and in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa, who became king over Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem, and his grandmother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. So he wanted to know, who? Is this two different Maacahs, or is it the same person, or what's going on here with this family lineage? And the bottom line is, what you have in verse 1 is Abijam became king over Judah. His mama's name was Maacah. Then when he died, his son Asa took over and became king of Judah. So Maacah went from being the mother of Abijam to the grandmother of Asa. But it's one and the same woman,
yeah,
Maacah.
And that's what I believed yesterday as well. I believe that was just a way of wording it. And so hope that put a little bit more light on that for you. We like to do our very best to do follow-ups when we find something there that requires a little deeper research. And so hope that answered it for you again. Yesterday, I want to say thank you for that call. Great call. And it reminded us of how important it is to know our Bibles. 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And before we go to the phones, Jeff, you know, in these days of so many different things that challenge us, you said earlier in the program, you want to come out of the closet.
I do. I think this is a great time for me to do it. You know, great. Hey, on national radio, and I've really prayed about it, Mike, and this isn't easy for me. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and come out and shoot straight and go ahead and announce who I really am. And so, Mike and CSN audience, I have decided to identify as a saint trapped in a sinner's body.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
That's hard for you, Mike, and I hope you'll keep me on the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to tell the truth. I'm a sinner trapped in a saint's body, and there's nothing I can do about it. It is who I am born to be through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been born again, and that's, I can't help it, Mike. That's what I am now.
Yeah.
I don't know where you stand on that, but that's
all
what
things,
I am.
Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And, you know, that is a truth, though, Jeff, concerning our old flesh, because we all anxiously await to be clothed with immortality and this old body that's under the curse from Adam, you know, the curse that gets sick and gets old and has a propensity to sin, all those things. We're going to get a brand new body that doesn't do that. And what a glorious thing that will be when finally our born again heart is united with an incorruptible body that doesn't have the same problems and the plagues our old ones do. Because, man, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, whether it's a propensity to sin, Paul said, as sinners, I am chief, or, you know, really whether it's just getting old and aches and pains and infections and all that stuff that affects this body, we look forward to getting that new body, how greatly it's needed.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of Christians don't understand, Mike, that yes, we are born again. We have a brand new nature, but we're still in a body of flesh. And Paul said the flesh wars against the spirit battles against the flesh, so that you don't always do the things you know that you should do. And we're going to be in this battle until Jesus comes. And thank God, when the trumpet blows, and if we're still on earth, we're caught up off of the earth in the rapture. And if we have died in the Lord, then we will come out of the grave. But either way, one of the core promises of the Christian faith is not just a saved soul, but a saved body. Our bodies, God cares about our bodies. And God is going to give us a glorified body, a redeemed body. You know, the Bible says that you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So God cares about the body, not just the soul. We tend to tell people when we get saved, oh, yeah, my soul is saved. But you know what? So is your body. Because when Christ comes again, your body is going up and it's going to be glorified. No more sickness, disease, pain, heartache, cancer, heart disease, arthritis, depression, none of that. We will have a perfected body that curves or the greatest spa in the world cannot give you.
Amen. Look forward to that. Again, 8888, ask CSN if you want to be part of the program today. And with that, we will go to Eric, Pendleton, Oregon. Hi and hi and welcome.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How may we help today?
So my question is, it's actually one I've been struggling with for a while now. I've been involved in a relationship with a gal for about 5 years, and she is unfortunately not a believer. And my knowledge at the time when we came together, I didn't really know much about the Bible. And as I've grown, I know that the Bible teaches and instructs us as Christians not to be in relationships with unbelievers. I know it says it pretty clear, you know, don't be unequally yoked, you know, what fellowship does light have with darkness and all that. And I'm just really struggling now because I'm with this girl who I really care about. I know I've been told that it's one of the hardest things to do. I'm just looking for advice on what I should do, because this is something that I've really, really been struggling with, and I don't really know what to do. And I desire to live the Christian life. She pretty much rejects Christianity, pretty much completely rejects it. She used to believe at one point in time, but now she's kind of fallen away. And she has a son who's gay. I believe that's one reason why she doesn't want to pursue that anymore. So I'm really just looking for some guidance on what I should do.
The good news is for you is, Eric, that the Bible already tells you what you need to do. So it isn't left up to our feelings, our emotion, advice from talking to 100 people. The Bible tells us what to do. And I believe you already know. So we're just going to basically confirm, I believe, what the Holy Spirit's told you. But the Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? No, don't be unequally yoked together with non-believers. This is one of the great dangers in dating people that are not born again. Because we end up getting our emotions, our feelings, we end up getting sexually attracted to them or involved with them. And then it makes the parting of ways extremely difficult. Now, remember, sin never does any of us any good. It always hurts. And so when we go against what God's word says, we are ultimately the loser. It isn't that sin hurts God. Well, maybe in that he loves us and hates to see us sin. But the thing is, sin is what hurts us. And so here's a couple of problems. One, by being with somebody that is not a true follower of Christ, the Bible has already given you the pronouncement on that. And you know what you need to do. The Bible says we don't have relationships with non-believers. Number two, you're robbing yourself of who God could put in your life if you were out of a relationship with somebody that didn't love him. Number three, this woman probably has this problem, as you already mentioned, with God, because she knows the lifestyle of her son is not pleasing to God. And so therefore, rather than telling her son to repent, it's easier just to say goodbye to God. And I believe these are all indicators of why a person should not be involved with a non-believer at this level. Because again, you find yourself entrapped. You've already said you've spent 5 years with her, 5 years down a dirt road, 5 years you're not going to get back, 5 years that could have been spent with who God has for you. But because we don't trust God's word, or at least want to do God's word, and or we believe that there's going to be an exception to the rule for me, I believe that we put a lot of hurt on ourselves that we don't need to do. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and you are right now, Eric, in what I would call between a rock and a hard place. And that's a hard place to be, because the rock is Jesus and the hard place is your attachment to this woman. But let me also give you another angle. If you stay with her, it's not really an act of love on your part for her, because let's say the two of you were to marry. Here you have your heart wanting to pursue Christ. She doesn't. She wants nothing to do with it. And I find it interesting that she's not just sort of in between or undecided, but the way you've described it is she is distinctly against coming to Christ. She's made up her mind. She wants nothing to do with it. So if you were to enter into a mixed marriage like that, and let's say children come along and you want to take those kids to church, well, she doesn't care anything about the kids going to church. And so you begin to have confrontations, or you begin to find yourself going off to church alone, taking your kids alone, or maybe she puts her foot down and says, I don't want my kids to have anything to do with that Christianity stuff. Then you have major issues. And so I would think long game here. And when you look at not just the short game, but the long game, then it doesn't look good. That's why the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Because your faith, if you're a true believer, is the number one part of your life. I mean, it's the apex of your life. It's what you're about. And then here you have somebody doing life with you who can't begin to identify with that. So I know it's hard. It's one of the hardest places to be, actually. And we kind of want to say with the guy in the Bible who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, strengthen my faith. I can't do this on my own. But I believe if you ask God to help you, God will strengthen you and grace you to step away from this. And like Mike said, down the road, meet somebody with whom you can share your Christian faith, which is everything. I can't imagine being married to somebody and not able to share my faith. So I hope that helps, Eric.
Eric, hope it does.
It does. And I think the issue that I had was I pretty much already knew the answer to the question. I was just looking for if there's anything that I may have missed in my Bible. And the gentleman that I was speaking to on the phone before the call came through and I started talking to you guys, I talked to him for quite a bit too. And he was, you know, he answered a lot of my questions as well and told me what I needed to hear. Pretty much, like I said, it was what I already knew, what I wanted to do. I just kind of wanted to confirm it. So yeah, I was actually engaged to this woman over Christmas and we kind of had a little falling out. And we don't see eye to eye, and she can't have children anymore, and that's unfortunate. But she has four boys already, and everybody in the whole family they're non-Christians, unfortunately. And I would love to be that person who could, you know, help to bring it to them, but it's been so hard. And I know the Bible also says that it's easier for them to pull me down than it is for me to, you know, to bring them up.
Always. That's what Solomon says in Proverbs. It isn't that the good rubs off on the bad, it's the bad rubs off on the good. And all the way through the Bible, you'll find even Jacob's brother Esau, the Bible says he married two Hittite women, which greatly troubled Isaac and Rebekah. You know, it's really a problem. And it was such a problem, just to let you know, that when the great famine came, Jacob interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, saying there's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of scant, that it's going to be so bad that the 7 years of plenty will be devoured by the famine of the 7 years, that God ended up moving Israel down into the land of Goshen in Egypt. Now, Egyptians were highly segregated. They did not, they believed they were descendants of the gods. Everybody else were pagans. And so they didn't intermarry with, as a general rule, they didn't intermarry with other cultures. So it is interesting that God saw what was happening with Esau, with others as well, and decided to just move them all down where they could become a great nation, not dispersed, not intermarrying, and the Jewish nation would be gone. But actually, because God holds that so important, that people don't end up with non-believers. And so, again, it's interesting. It says there in Genesis that Esau married two Hittite women, and it greatly displeased Isaac and Rebecca. So it is a problem. It is still a problem today. And we see this all the time. So hope that helps.
It does. It helps very much. Thank you, guys. I've been listening to your show for a couple years now, pretty much every day. So thank you.
Hey, I'll send you out a couple of DVDs, a couple of books, and perhaps you can get your girlfriend to watch those. And if she says, well, I don't believe this junk, I think that might be a good opportunity for you to just tell her, just say, you know, you're a nice person, but, you know, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? And we're not. I know it's hard, but you never know how God will work all this out. You know, maybe your absence, you know, Christ in you that she sees, as she starts thinking about it, maybe even dating other guys, realizes, hey, there was something really different about you, and maybe God is real. But I would use these materials that we're sending you to try to witness to her. Okay, Eric?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Father, give Eric wisdom in dealing with this most serious, close to the heart matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to Charles, Palm Springs, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi there. Thank you.
Hi, how may we help?
I ran into a buddy at work, and we started talking about it, and he was telling me all the reasons why he doesn't believe in the Bible, and he came up with a question that stumped me, and I thought I'd ask a question to you guys. So, in particular, the question was, if all the animals were on the boat and the whole world was flooded, how did kangaroos get to Australia? And I guess the more general question would be, how did animals get to all the different islands of the earth after the flood? I did not have an answer for them there.
Well, that actually is in the Bible, how that happened. And we find it in two places in particular, because it was such a monumentous thing. We find it in Genesis chapter 10, in verse 25. We find a fellow named Peleg. And the Bible, as well as scientists, strongly support the idea of Pangaea, or literally one continent. And then it broke apart, and it's called the continental drift. I think at this point, it's more than a theory, because we know that Paris and New York continue to drift apart from one another a couple inches a year. I imagine the earthquake when this thing went off was probably staggering. But the Bible tells us that his name was Peleg, and it's when the earth broke apart. Now, I believe this is when the continents began to drift from one another, and we find it even supported again in 1 Chronicles 1:19. Now, this is way after Genesis, and they reference Peleg again, and it speaks about when the earth broke apart. So depending on what animals was on that particular landmass when it split, and you got to remember, from the time the flood came to the time that Peleg came on the world scene, you have to think that this was hundreds of years. Animals travel all over. So I don't think this is any hard thing to understand. And of course, there's going to be different animals on these other places as they break apart. It is interesting, in Hawaii, there are plants indigenous to the area, and then there are some that were brought in, plants and animals, critters, croaky frogs, things like this, that were brought in the shipping containers from other places. And so you have to realize that people possibly could travel around, but I believe primarily the way the kangaroos and all these other kind of unique creatures that we find in Australia, I believe they were simply on the landmass when it broke off, and as the earth begins to, the continents begin to drift from one another. And it is not really, they used to call it the continental drift theory, but as they know more about geology, they really believe that this was in fact one landmass at one time. But it's funny, the Bible notes it, and a guy's name marks it as well, Peleg. So, Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah, and that's a great point. Also, you know, animals, critters are great hitchhikers. That is, if you're around the water much, and I've grown up around the water, I love the water. And how many times have I seen on like a drifting log, some critter, some animal, or some reptile, just on top of this log, just enjoying the ride as the current took the log wherever it went. And, you know, the ability of ocean currents to distribute floating objects around the world. There was recently an article about it when thousands of bathtub rubber ducks were lost off of a container ship in the North Pacific. And within just a few months, think about that, just a few months, these had floated to Indonesia. They showed up in Indonesia, in Australia, and South America, and subsequently into the Arctic and Atlantic oceans. And that's just these rubber duckies floating. And so I believe also these animals, no doubt, got onto log mats or, you know, little log boats type things and just hitched the ride. And the ocean currents carried them. After the flood, the oceans were much warmer after the Great Flood. And so I believe that they were also probably over time carried that way.
So again, you have at least four verses in Genesis chapter 10 that speak of a disbursement, and when the land, the exact words in the Bible, when the world, the land, the earth was divided. And we find it in, again, Genesis 10:5, Genesis 10:18, 10:20, 10:21. You find 10:32. There's a lot of interesting things about that. But even in Chronicles, way later, 1,000 years later, you find this being referred to again in the Bible. Hope that helps.
That helps tremendously, and I really appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Again, Genesis chapter 10, 1 Chronicles 1 is where you'll find that in the genealogies. I think, again, because it is an important thing. People try to diss on the Bible, but they don't realize how the Bible would explain something. And when the Bible says the world was divided, it means it was divided. It wasn't just, oh, you stay over here, we'll stay over here, and this row of trees will separate us. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a major tectonic plate issue. So Charles Taylor Lyne sent you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, one in particular, God of Wonders, which I think your friend might like to watch. Stay there. We'll get you all fixed up. And with that, we'll go to Sandy on the Big Island. Hi, welcome.
Hey, aloha. Hey, I've got a kind of a heavy heart today because we have family that does not want us to participate in a basically kind of like a family reunion to help with a sick brother because of our desire not to be shamed into following the crowds to get the injection. And I just am having a hard time trying to figure out how to respond to them. You know, I want to tell them, you know, I have told them, we do not have a spirit of fear. You know, 2 Timothy 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm not fearful. They are fearful of us. And they want us to maintain the social distancing and wear our masks in their presence. And so it's very difficult. And I'm wondering how you guys are handling this.
Well, one of the things I'll say about COVID is that it has completely cured the flu. You never hear about flu anymore. Isn't that a miracle? No, it's all part of the bogus thing. Remember, the vaccinations are not FDA approved. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break, which we're coming up on. We'll be right back.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on over 300 stations nationwide, including multiple stations in New York. You can listen in Binghamton. You can listen in Windsor, Oswego, and Seneca Falls. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship, or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
We want to welcome you back to part two of Terry Man and Answer on this Wednesday afternoon with Jeff Wickwire. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. When we went to the break, we were talking with Sandy, who's been ostracized by her family because she doesn't get the COVID shot. And, you know, what do you do about that? What do you tell them? Well, you know, as I said earlier, Sandy, both manufacturers right now that are manufacturing these, the third, Johnson & Johnson, pulled back because of complications with blood clots. But neither of these two companies are FDA approved. And I think that's a pretty good statement right there why we'd want to be very careful in doing this. Number two, we're vaccinating people for a disease that is morphing. In other words, the COVID that's around today will be a different COVID in a year from now. They already approved this with the African version, as well as COVID tier four out of England, which is 62 times more aggressive than the current COVID that's out there. You got to remember, this is a man-made disease designed to kill people that can't work or are sick or are old. This is the beautiful communist disease, and that's what it is, really. It's for getting rid of worthless mouths that eat. Now, while the rest of the world, especially in the United States, we're trying to develop vaccines for malaria and diphtheria and all these kinds of things, no, the communists, they like to make diseases that kill people because it's not part of the communal idea. This is one of the great fears that I have for our own country, as we find our current president wanting now to stack the Supreme Court, that third branch of government that brings balance to our government, to basically let them freewheel and completely destroy America. America is headed for a communist takeover. I believe it's already here. You have Washington, D.C., which they want to make into a state, which the Constitution says it cannot be made into a state. But they don't ever go by the Constitution anyway. Why start now? So that'll give them two Democratic governors and one more Democratic person in the House. It's not something that even needs to be voted on. The Constitution already says you can't do it. But they don't care. No, they don't care about the Second Amendment or your First Amendment, or for that matter, any other amendment. Because communists don't. This, friends, is not the Democratic Party. This is the Communist Party. And we need to call it for what it is and stop the charades. Because, you see, John Kennedy was a Democrat. He was against communism. Truman was against communism and sent troops to stop the invasion of North Korea against South Korea. But not this group. No, what we have right now running in the White House illegally through an illegal election, and there is no other way around it. We proved here at CSN the election was bogus. We proved it. Now, how big the deception was, we don't know. But what I'm saying is this. The information that trickles down now of COVID passports and all this kind of stuff is going to be manipulated. Where are your papers? You must show your papers. And we are rocketing into losing our freedoms, all in the name of this new, beautiful way of doing things, which is nothing more than repackaged socialism, communism, and making human beings servants of the government, rather than in our country, the way it was, the government is servant to us. That's the big difference. Now, Sandy, going back to this, you say, why'd I say that? Because the information we're getting through the government, through the American news media, which is controlled by them, all of this is bogus. I read an article in the New York Post, no, excuse me, New York Times, saying that it was evangelicals resisting the vaccination. Well, it's because maybe evangelicals have some common sense left in their head. You don't know what this vaccination is going to do in 2 years or 5 years. It's not FDA approved. There's a reason why they haven't approved it, because they don't know its long-term effects. So you have a disease that's morphing. You have a non-approved vaccination just whisked through very quickly. And the pharmaceutical companies that are making these vaccinations are exempt from lawsuits. So if you go blind in 2 years because of this vaccination, you have no recourse whatsoever. I think that anybody that would say, oh, if you don't get the vaccination, you're not part of the team. Yeah, it's really weird what Bill Gates said. We want to control, and I quote, the world population through vaccines. What? How do you control world population through vaccines? Unless the vaccine does more than you think it's going to do. These are things that I think we all have to think about because, again, we are sold a bill of goods through an American news media that is totally rotten. It is totally corrupt. I said before, if their lips are moving, they're lying. Well, at least most of the time. They tell half-truths. They won't tell you what's really going on. It's completely sold out to the one world order. You have to remember that. And so the thing is, this idea of this vaccine passport idea that's out there, I think could eventually lead into the mark of the beast where you will not be able to do anything unless you have been approved your papers. Because, again, there's no new thing under the sun, Solomon says. And as America goes, and with the laws that are being passed, following Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. Yeah, that's right, Joe. That's what you're doing. We're headed for the same horrible outcome. And when any group of people try to stack the Supreme Court to get their own way, friends, you are being overthrown. Wake up, smell the coffee, because this is what's going to happen. They have no regard for your rights. If they had the rights of the people, they wouldn't be trying to stack the court. But no, they don't. And this is the problem that we find. And we need to be aware. I want to encourage everybody, if you can, go online, listen to James Dobson's program that aired last night, maybe early in the morning for some of you, and listen to it, how serious this problem really is, because I don't think we understand how brainwashed people are. And now they even turn on their own family saying, well, if you don't get this vaccination, which is not FDA approved, which is vaccination for a disease that probably won't be here in a year, it'll be morphed into something else, which we have no repercussions against the pharmaceuticals that make this product. And if you don't get it, you're not part of the club. Great. I don't want to be part of your club because, you know, really, unfortunately, people are duped. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I believe one of the reasons why Jesus says that he's the truth, that tells us that what they're doing is a lie. And friends, we've all been lied to a lot. And I think that isn't over yet. Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah. And Sandy, you know, God forbid that we would deal rationally with something.
Yeah.
Like your family member is saying, you know, you've got to have the shot or we're not going to get around you. But if they believe in the efficacy of a mask, then they should feel totally safe from being exposed to anything by you or anybody else, though you have no mask, because their mask is protecting them. And but they're not dealing in rationality. They're not dealing in common sense or logic, because fear is more times than not irrational. What I would do, Sandy, is this. I would say to them, I'm not going to get the vaccine. Our minds are made up that this is not for us right now. If because of that, you are going to kick me out of a family gathering and bar me from it, and I'm not going to be able to come with my own kin and enjoy a family get together, then fine. But we will not be forced or coerced into doing something that we don't want to do. You had your choice and you took the vaccine. I have my choice and I'm not taking it. So they ought to honor that, and they ought to feel safe with a mask, as they do believe that the mask protects. But again, I don't expect that you will likely run into rational thought, because, you know, I've been reading a book lately, Mike, Francis Schaeffer. It's so powerful. It's one of his older books, but it was just called The Escape from Reason. And way back in the 60s, Francis Schaeffer nailed this current phenomenon of, you know, feeling Trump's truth. If I identify as it, it's true. It doesn't matter what science says. It doesn't matter what reality says. If I believe or feel or decide something is true, it's true. And Francis Schaeffer dealt with this kind of erroneous thinking in his book, The Escape from Reason. But he saw this coming in the 60s, and we're here now where we're dealing with people who will look you right in the eye and tell you something is true when brazen reality tells you something else.
In fact,
the facts, just, you know, hard, cold reality, you know, undeniable truth and reality and science tell you something else. But it doesn't matter, because if you deem it true, it's true. Now, Mike, there was a day that would have been called mental illness. I mean, we
now, now it's called the Democratic Party.
Yeah, progressive thinking. But, you know, we all remember the old caricature of the guy who next door who says he's Napoleon. And you say, well, how do you think you're Napoleon? I am Napoleon. Well, these days, if he came out and said, you know what, I'm identifying as Napoleon, then our culture almost is to the place that it would say to us, agree with him. Don't tell him he's not.
By law.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't tell him he's not Napoleon. If he identifies as Napoleon, that's his truth. And it may not be your truth, but it's his truth. And if it's his truth, then it's truth. But it's not. That's relativism gone crazy. So that's where we are, Sandy. I know we went long on this, but I hope that helps with the family decision.
Yeah, and that's why they hate the Bible so bad, because the Bible is truth, and that is absolutes, where truth to relativism is true as if it's true to you. And the problem is, that is insanity. So
it is.
It is. You can say, well, I believe driving into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour in my car ain't going to hurt me. Well, you can believe that all you want. You can convince yourself. You can have the government say he has a right to believe that. But the fact is, when you do that, you will die. Mm-hmm. But see, that's the problem, because they don't live by any facts. They live by feelings. And if it feels right, it's probably wrong. Sandy, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I hope that answers your question for you.
It does. Hey, Mike, I have one more question. When you were diagnosed with the COVID, did they start you on an aspirin regimen because of the potential for blood clots?
No. No, because I was never diagnosed with COVID. My wife was diagnosed positive, but I had gotten it first. And by the time it got around for me to have the test, I had built up enough antibodies that it came back negative. But I am sure that's what I had gotten, because, again, I just felt like I had the flu. And by the way, as I said earlier, the COVID has completely cured the flu. You never hear a word about the flu anymore. And yet it killed more people, than COVID has. So
you ready for this, Mike? Listen to this. Yeah. In 2020, there was a 97% drop in flu cases.
It's a miracle. Oh, these guys twist the facts, psychedelicize it. That's what they do the best. So, but no, I didn't. Personally, I'm not a doctor. I can't recommend. But had I ate aspirin right after I got COVID, because about a week two after I gotten this, I started feeling better. But that's when the blood clots start for many people that get COVID. It's when they start feeling better. And one of the doctors told me, he said, if you'd probably been eating an aspirin a day, you probably wouldn't have had a blood clot. But I know personally people who have had strokes, blood clots in the brain, blood clots in their arms and in their legs, in their chest, in their heart. I am one of them. And so it seems, and when I was in the hospital, the lady that was ahead of the ER told me, she said, you know, we learn something new about this disease every day. So again, it is a morphing disease as well. And that's why they say right now that the African version of COVID is completely immune to any of our vaccinations. So it's a real problem. And I think it's going to be the head of Modena. What's Jeff, help me here with the company that makes the vaccinations.
Johnson and Johnson and
starts with an M.
It eludes me. I don't recall.
Modena, I think it is, or yeah. Anyway, the president said COVID will be with humanity forever, his words. So because it morphs, and that's the problem. So anyway, Sandy, pray for him. And I would just tell him, well, when it's FDA approved, then I'll get it. But until then, you're all a bunch of guinea pigs. So hope that helps.
Thank you so much. And God bless you guys and your ministry. Appreciate it.
Blessings to you. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Wendy, California. Hi, welcome. Hi, Wendy.
Jeff, your coming out story in the very beginning was pretty doggone amusing. I'm here for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to kind of be sure everybody was listening. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely caught my attention. Anyway, I'm calling in for Eric, your first caller, who was concerned over his unequally yoked relationship.
Yes.
I would like to briefly offer a testimony of a dear friend of mine who has gone and is going through that in his marriage. He was saved about 20 years ago. His wife is not saved. At the time, she was buying books on Wicca.
Yeah.
He loved the Lord and was involved in church, and she didn't want him to go, and she kept trying to get him to not go. Well, very long story short, he made his marriage the idol instead of God coming first. And for the last 16 years, he's basically walked away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he works for me pretty much every week. And every week I'm trying to get him to come back to church. He's gone into drug addiction, porn addiction, to a point in which we're wondering, you know, did he even get saved? Now his wife and her son have become hard, left-leaning liberals. And so now he's getting major persecuted and talked down. And it breaks my heart because he is just like a whipped puppy at this point. But some of it's his own fault because he should have put God first and trusted him. But maybe that's just easy for me to say.
Yeah, Wendy, we know. We know. That's why the Bible says what it says about this particular topic. You just don't want to mess with what God says. God knows the people's hearts a lot better than we do. And again, when the Bible is very clear about something, walk in that way. You'll be blessed. Wendy, I hope that helps. Did you have a question?
No, sir. I just wanted to say to Eric, I know you love her, but really think, be careful. Because I watched the heartbreak of my friend, and it's been very difficult to watch him go through that.
Amen. Run, run while you can. Mm-hmm. Wendy, stay in line. I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Perhaps you can get along to your friend, maybe quicken his heart back to the Lord. With that, we'll go to Teresa, Huntsville, Alabama. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for your ministry. I have been going through a lot, and I don't understand. My daughter stayed. I may not be able to say this, but with my abuser, ex-husband, and I was diagnosed with COPD. I was working, and my boss said that she didn't think I was happy with my job. I was. I told her I would leave, and then
Well, Teresa, dear, I think you just really need a real blessing and a touch from God. Jeff, you know, I what would you say to her? And maybe you can pray for Teresa, and we'll just see what God will do.
Well, I'm just sensing she's just so overwhelmed with the pain of life right now that she hardly knows how to describe it. So, Teresa, I want to pray for you. And so let's do that. Is that okay with you? Let's pray. Father, I come to you with Teresa, and I pray that you will help her. Lord, when we don't know what to do, you always do know what we should do. And so, Lord, we turn to your word. We turn to your counsel. We ask you for wisdom. But Lord, without your wisdom, we don't know which way to turn. We don't know how to handle some of the things that life throws at us that are bigger than we are, more than we can handle, especially when they all come cascading down upon us at once. So we pray, Lord, strengthen her, help her, and give her your peace and your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for Amen. Calling, Teresa. And stay on the line, and they'll get you a couple of CDs and some things that will help you further along the way, okay?
Yeah. Well, and Teresa, our prayers and thoughts are with you. And hopefully we have enough time to get one more call in here. Let's go to Eric in California. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, I was going to call back tomorrow.
Well, we can take it. We got some time. How can we help?
Yeah, I have a question about Reformed theology concerning the end times. Are they post-millennial or amillennial? Like, what are the problems you have with Reformed theology? Like, what's your take on it?
Well, I think there's a lot of problems. Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, Reformed theology, you're basically dealing with Calvinism. When you say Reformed, you're talking about Calvinism. When you're talking about Calvinism, you're talking about the acronym TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. And if you're a Reformed Calvinist, then you believe in total depravity of man. You believe that's the T. You believe in unconditional election. That's the U. You believe in limited atonement. That's the L. Irresistible grace. That's the I. And perseverance of the saints is the P. Now, we are not Calvinists. For me, for Mike, I know, and CSN as a whole, we believe that there are many, many problems inherent in Calvinism. Number one, that God would literally decree that somebody is either saved or lost. And that's where irresistible grace comes in. If you're fortunate enough to have been sovereignly chosen by God, then you are irresistibly going to be saved. If you're not fortunate enough to have been chosen by God to be saved, then good luck. You're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to hell. Because God has chosen that you not be saved. You're not amongst the elect. You're not amongst the select of the elect. And so we have a problem with that. That runs full in the face of the character of God. All kinds of Bible verses, like whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, we can quote verse after verse that uses the word whosoever. Or whoever, and that means anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so that's one of the problems inherent in Reformed theology and Calvinism. And I will say, Eric, that there is currently a real resurgence of Calvinism. There is a real growth happening amongst many Reformed churches. But I want to make a little prediction. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet, but I'll make a little prediction. I don't believe that the current resurgence in Reformed theology is going to last because many of the people going into it are going into it as a reaction to the hyper-charismatic movement where they saw so many things wrong, the abuse of the gifts, crazy, zany, loony stuff going on. So they said, man, I'm going to return to Reformed theology. I'm going to get where it's all about the Bible and verse by verse. And that's great. Don't get me wrong. But once they begin to see the flaws in Calvinism, and they will, I believe that there'll be you have that pendulum swinging from the hyper-charismatic movement into the Reformed church. And I think as they begin to see some of the real problems inherent in Calvinism, the pendulum is going to swing somewhere into the middle again, where there is a stronger balance. Mike?
Yeah, and any ism, Calvinism, Mormonism, it's not Christianity. By the very nature of the name, it's not Christianity. And when you see predestined in the Bible, remember, that's always from God's perspective. From our perspective, Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. Stay in line. We'll send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Jeff, thanks for being on the program, and look forward to being back tomorrow. And so until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. God bless you. Have a great evening.
Amen.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.